The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It is a Monday in May. Happy May to you. Yesterday, May Day. Today, May the 2nd. Some big stuff going on May the 2nd here because, as you know from all of our live reads last week, today and Wednesday, May 2nd and May the 4th, we are, and by we, of course, I mean Salem and 710 KNUS, are premiering exclusively here in the Denver area 2,000 Mules. As you know from me repeating it, maybe 1,000 times, 2000mules.com is where you can go to get any remaining tickets. And honestly, I don't know what's remaining. I remember at the end of last week, Alexa texted in and said that they had all been sold out at Highlands Ranch, and I can't remember the other place. But nonetheless, keep trying to get those tickets. I imagine after this thing happens in the theaters, which is the best place to see it, there's going to be the opportunity to live stream this thing, download it, stream it, something. But you don't have to wait for all that to hear the man himself at 7 a.m. this morning. And actually, it'll be more like 7:04, 7:05. We are pleased to have the movie's maker, Dinesh D'Souza. He's going to call in and hopefully do an interview with us here for a time. And I had asked last week if you had questions, if you would send those questions in. Think about those. We've already had a couple texts in today, good ones. And not the boxers and briefs ones. We had a couple of those too. And while that is amusing, I will save that for a beer with Dinesh. And even then, that actually might make it more awkward now that I picture that. Hi, boxers or briefs? And then he just gets up and goes. It's been a lot of fun. But other good questions about this particular topic, you can read the description of it online. There's a lot more I want to talk to you about, some things that have developed since some of our topics last week. Forgive me, Swagger. I'm sorry. Some stuff that we'll talk about with that when we're done. But we can't really get underway until we start every day, as we always do here at 710 KNUS, with not only the Thorpe Report, but then America's new favorite. I'm anxious to see who the new sponsor is. America's newest, bestest game show, and that is You Choose the News. Without any further ado, Mr. Billy Thorpe.
Hey, good morning, sir. Sound like good you had morning. Something in your throat. You okay this morning?
It was. Oh, it was a little nerve hanger okay, that I had hanging in the back there by the glottis.
Let's see what happens. Yeah, don't want things hanging on the glottis. That's not good. That's got to get there removed. Well, good morning. The rain we got overnight and this morning is the first significant precipitation we've gotten in about 6 weeks. Rainfall is going to be about a quarter to a half an inch through Monday morning, not enough to break drought by any means, but it is welcome. It's going to be cool today, highs in the upper 40s, low 50s. Skies will clear late this afternoon. Tomorrow will start dry, but there could be some rain and maybe even snow showers in the mountains. Tuesday afternoon and evening, highs are going to be in the low 60s for the metro area. More rain and cooler weather is expected for Denver and the Eastern Plains through Wednesday, and our highs will be probably around the upper 50s. Police in Denver are investigating two separate shootings that happened Saturday night and Sunday morning that left three people wounded. The first one happened 8 p.m. Saturday at Benedict Fountain Park near East 20th Avenue and Pennsylvania Street. There was a man that had been shot, transported to a hospital. Condition is unknown. No arrests were made and no suspect information is available. 4 a.m. on Sunday, police responded to a double shooting in the 1600 block of West Evans. Two shooting victims sustained serious injuries and were transported by a private vehicle to the hospital. As many as two-thirds of those who lost homes in the Marshall Fire lack enough insurance to fully cover their rebuilding costs. That's according to analysis by the Colorado Division of Insurance. The division has been looking at claims from 61 different insurance companies related to the Marshall Fire, which destroyed more than 1,000 homes in Superior and Louisville and unincorporated Boulder County late last year. Now, while examining these claims filed by the people who suffered a total loss, the division found that 92% of them have insurance without a guaranteed replacement benefit. That's important because that would have rebuilt your homes no matter the cost. The problem is that 92% then risk being underinsured and will probably not be able to rebuild the same size home or replace everything that they lost. And the family of JonBenet Ramsey is supporting a petition for Governor Jared Polis to take new action to help find answers in the case that's gone unsolved for more than 25 years. JonBenet's father says he wants DNA evidence that he says has never been tested before to be transferred away from the Boulder Police Department, and he wants a different agency to start investigating. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah. And on that note, it's time.
Yay!
Yes, for everybody's favorite radio news game show, it is time for You Choose the News. And we are so proud this week to welcome a brand new sponsor. It is Dr. Hornswoggle's Home Rorschach Test. If you're not using Dr. Hornswoggle's Home Rorschach Test, you're crazy. All right, sir. We have four stories for you. I scoured the interwebs to find ridiculous things that us humans do. And your choices today are, sir, freer but not better. Do we call it authentic? Getting a buzz from science and dinner for two. Again, your choices are freer but not better. Do we call it authentic? Getting a buzz from science and dinner for two.
I'm going to go buzz from science for $1,000.
Getting a buzz from science. 2, 4, 6, 8. You probably recognize those as even numbers. Well, according to science, up until now, even an odd categorization of numbers has been very, very difficult. But they've just found it for the first time in non-humans. A study that was published recently in the Frontiers in Ecology and Evolution showed that honeybees can learn to differentiate between odd and even numbers with about an 80% accuracy. What they did is they separated bees into two separate groups. One group was trained to associate even numbers with sugar water and the odd numbers with a bitter-tasting liquid. The other group was trained the exact opposite, associate the odd numbers with the sugar and the even numbers with the bitter water. And it took them a while, but the bees got down to about 80% accuracy and could get up to 12. So they could go as high as the number 12, and the bees could still choose whether or not it was an even or odd number just by looking at it. They would put, like, cards up against the
wall. We don't want smart bees.
I know. Well, I don't know. Bees are rather intelligent. We'll have to talk about it at some point. We could really get go down a rabbit hole. Bees actually have a democratic process when they are choosing to leave their current home and try to find a new nest.
Do they have, like, bee disinformation and stuff?
No, they don't. No, no. There's no bee MSNBC from as well as I know. But they actually do vote. There's a college process I can tell you about. It's really fascinating.
It was tough enough for me to rationalize what the phrase the bee's knees was. Now to go to the bee's brains.
Exactly.
I don't know.
All right, so your second choice. Freer but not better. Do we call it authentic or dinner for two?
Dinner for two, please.
Dinner for two. A Northern Illinois family who was renovating their home this month unearthed dinner for two that apparently had been sitting inside their walls for more than 60 years. Rob and Grace Jones were fixing up their kitchen and bathroom earlier this month. Well, it'll be last month now. In Crystal Lake, it's about 50 miles northwest of downtown Chicago.
Forgive me, Crystal Lake is where Jason lives.
Yeah, I wouldn't live there either. There's no way I would want that. They were replacing a built-in toilet paper holder, requiring them to open a 4x6 section of the wall. That's when they spotted a towel inside wrapping up something. They thought, oh, this looks bad. And then they started shielding their children's eyes because there was something red there. Could it be dried blood? No. What they found was a bag with two pretty well-preserved McDonald's hamburgers and an order of fries. Yes.
Hold on. Well-preserved after how many years?
Well, the ranch-style house was built in 1959.
No.
And the Crystal Lake Historical Society has records of a McDonald's opened about a half a mile from the home the very same year.
Hold on. Well-preserved after decades? That says something, right?
Oh, yes,
I mean, that says something.
Yeah.
Like, not good.
Loving it. No, you're loving it. That's what you're
doing. Oh, my good Lord.
Yeah. So, your final choice today, sir. Freer but not better, or do we call it authentic?
I love freedom. Let's go freer.
Freer but not better. Sadly, just recently this weekend, a rattlesnake handler died after he was bitten at the rattlesnake roundup in Freer, Texas.
Oh.
Freer Police Chief Hector Doria confirmed that Eugene De Leon Sr. was bitten in the shoulder right around 1 o'clock on Saturday. He was taken by helicopter to a hospital in Corpus Christi but died Saturday night around 9 p.m. One of the organizers of the rattlesnake roundup said that De Leon was performing and handling rattlesnakes in front of a crowd at the time he was bitten. He had over 20 years experience handling the snakes, his family wrote on Facebook. He had a passion for snake handling and he died doing what he loved. Great. That's not
what, good. So a rattlesnake bite killed him?
Yeah, what he did is, he's a handler, so he picks them up and holds them, you know, and then puts them near his face, and he holds them further down than right behind the neck, because if you've ever handled a venomous snake, you hold it right behind the neck, and you never let go, because that way it can't turn around. Or you grab it by the end of the tail, And there's a way
and
to
swing
pick
it around
up.
Your head wildly.
Well, there's a way to pick it up that you like can prevent it from turning around back at you. But there are a couple of snakes, you have to know which ones they are, that do have the ability to turn all the way around and come at you backwards.
How in the world, though, do you know what that? I mean, that's not fair to people in nature. They don't come with instructions before
no,
you get
they
to
don't.
Them.
No, they don't. So basically, yeah, the little wiggly long thing, yeah, leave that alone. Don't touch the snakes. They're not, well, unless you know, you got to look at the head.
And this was a dude who should have known better?
He's been doing it for 20 years. So, yes, he absolutely...
No snake venom nearby? I mean, like, if that's your business, don't you feel like maybe you carry a pocket full of that stuff?
You'd think the Boy Scouts would have taught him that. That somebody... I'm just saying at the rattlesnake roundup, you'd think that that might have been on the list. That maybe medical professionals with anti-venom would be there on site. Guess not.
Rarely do I feel like the phrase, he died doing something he loved, really is... sufficient, right? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of things I love doing. I don't want to die during any of them.
Yeah, exactly. There's,
like, somehow,
choice. Yeah, if you're given the choice, no, none of that, thank you.
No, I appreciate it. By the way, if you haven't gotten up to look outside yet, it is Seattle or something outside there. It's going to be 50 degrees with rain.
It is going to be awful today. Well, sir, you are the
no
winner
snakes.
Today. No, I know. And a snake bite. It's just, what was he doing?
What's the thing that we won?
That's the end. This is the end of You Choose the News and our proud sponsor, brand new, and it's Dr. Hornswoggle's Home Rorschach Test. It's just like 23andMe, but for your own personal demons. Remember, if you're not using Dr. Hornswoggle's Home Rorschach Tests, you're crazy. Back to you.
Thank you, Billy Thorpe, that stuff doesn't just put itself together. You've got to dig deep. To find that stuff. That's in the dark web where Billy goes to find those things, and the place where the snakes actually live. Be careful how you handle those things. And I hope that they're all snakes. Listen, we have coming up at the 7 o'clock hour, Dinesh D'Souza. He is going to talk to us about his new movie, 2,000 Mules. Now, I spent some time listening to other podcasts. This cat has been busy. I mean, in addition to making this big, high-quality documentary, which Alexa has told us that... it is sold out in Parker, that's me town, and sold out in Highlands Ranch, that's my former town. I don't know if there's other places out there that are available, but keep trying. And I've also been told by Alexa that May the 7th, there may be an opportunity to download this thing. I don't know if it's for purchase or for free, but interesting. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it to either the 2nd or the 4th. Trying to score what tickets I can. I've had a couple friends reach out and say, hey, can you get me some? I know it should seem like a guy who works for the place that's sponsoring it should be able to do that. I have no idea how to go about doing that. That's how low on the totem pole I am. Billy probably has more stroke when it comes to getting those tickets. So, Billy, I might need you to, I don't know, get Kelly in a headlock or something. But that's today and also Wednesday, May the 4th. Two opportunities to see it. Now, I listen to a whole bunch of podcasts, and it ranges, right? Like, most of these podcast border on sycophantish, and I mean that sincerely. Like, it's just, this is the greatest thing ever, even by people who haven't seen it. Like, I can't say names because they're on the station anyway. But there's, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, this proves up so much. And then there's others that are actually out there where they ask some more challenging questions. My hope is to just get a better understanding of what the movie is. I've got my own questions from the limited things I've heard about. I really need to see the movie. Don't get me wrong. I don't profess to be an expert on this at all. And I've been a fan of Dinesh's for a couple decades. I mean, this guy has been putting out some high-quality stuff for a long, long time. This just happens to be one of those topics that is lightning-sensitive. Bam. I mean, it just... there are very few people that don't have an opinion on this already, and we'll see how this movie may help to shape, change, or embolden some folks in their thinking. I'm anxious to have that conversation, but I am also interested in knowing your thoughts. If you've had the ability to get a sneak preview of this, or you've heard Dinesh talk about this, and you've got some questions you'd like to have me ask, I'm not promising you I'm going to ask every question, but I promise you I'll read them and I'll consider them and try to figure out how to do it in a segment here. And you can reach out to us at the 710KNUS app or at 710KNUS.com. My favorite, of course, is for you to call in at 303-696-1971. The conversations we have on the radio here may be the most important aspect of this show. And let me just take a moment to tell you why. I just started thinking about this, and you heard me start to really promote this last week. This isn't because the station told me to. This isn't because Billy and I got together and hashed this out. This is just my thoughts on this. I've listened to folks on the other parts of the dial. I do that all the time just to sort of see what the competition is up to. And frankly, I like some folks out there from time to time on the people they have on to interview. But listen, there is no place really you can go on the AM dial where you get to have access to the airwaves and to the host on the topics that we cover like this. There just isn't anything like it. Everything else feels a lot more like listen radio. This is talk radio. And it's not me doing the talking. It's you and me doing the talking. And I think we take probably more calls on average in a show than any three others you can name. I think that's true, by the way, for everybody here on 710, whether it's Stefan, Randy, Jimmy, Dr. Dunn. I mean, you name the show. These are shows that are based on you, getting you involved in the conversation, because honestly, this is the town square. We just don't get that on other stations. Far more of the other stations, with a couple exceptions, are listen radio. This is talk radio, but it requires you to do it. So help us out here with some of these questions at 303-696-1971. I do want to tell you, after we come back from the break, maybe I need to carve out a new hour, the Neuschwanger hour, to have this conversation. Billy's still waiting on responses from Danielle as to whether or not she's going to come into studio or call us on the phone to answer some of these questions. But the list keeps growing because now people start emailing me things like police reports. And now I have even more questions. I'm going to share with you some of the information that I have received, and interested to see where this goes. Big news from Danielle, by the way, over the weekend. It's not the first time she's said it, but it's big news from Saturday. We'll cover that when we come back. I'll let you know what she said right after this. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Top of the hour, Dinesh D'Souza with 2,000 Mules going to come into the studio, via the phone. And we're going to ask some questions. He's going to give some answers, and we're going to get a lot smarter about this topic on the eve here. And it's less than the eve because the movie premieres tonight in Highlands Ranch, Parker, and other places. And then again, we replay it all. It's exclusive premiere. You can't go anywhere else to get it, by the way, than 710KNUS and the 2000mules.com website. And you'll be able to do it again on Wednesday. Now, wait a minute. There's a question here, Billy. I'd ask for questions to ask Dinesh, but here's one. Question for Billy. Do snakes have individual personalities? Like that one is grumpy, that one friendly. What, that has nothing to do
absolutely.
With 2,000 mules. That's like 2,000 snakes.
That is true. But yeah, snakes do have individual personalities. There are things that are specific to breeds based on how their temperament functions. But yeah, there's I know one breeder that has a specific snake that on the outside of the bin, it says no touchy, because the snake's just a jackass. It's just going to go at you no matter what. So there are some. You can normally train it out of them, and there's some things that, you know, basically you're just trying to change the defensive response. But, yeah, they do have individual personalities.
Thank you, Texter, for getting us to Billy and the snakes again. Those, again, things I have never known, nor have I even, because I don't own snakes. If I did, I would probably know to ask, how do I don't understand the snake personality thing. And then, is it passel tongue? Is that what you speak to get them to? Parcel tongue. That's right. I thought that was actually mailman speak. Is that different? Anyway, listen, so here's what happened. I want to just reset this a bit. Back on April the 8th, that's a Friday. It's the day before the April the 9th assembly down in Colorado Springs. We offered up to every one of the candidates that wanted to come on air here and have an interview. And we took each of the candidates. I think we had Greg Lopez on for a bunch, and we've had him on a couple times, and Heidi on a couple times. And then we had never had Danielle Neuschwanger on. She came on and she said a bunch of stuff, and it was like, okay, that's great. There were some nutty things mentioned in there about how a boyfriend ruined her zeal for law enforcement, because he was, if you'll remember the words, we can find the clip if you need it, but where she says, yeah, I was going to do criminal justice, and she ends up doing that in penology, which it turns out is the study of prison stuff or prison people. I thought it was pens. It's not. And she ends up saying, look, this guy was so abusive to me, it kind of drove me away from law enforcement. And then we come to find out through the conversation that maybe that wasn't exactly the right order of events, that this guy actually was not a police officer at the time. He may have been accepted into an academy, but according to Danielle, he lied to her, lied to law enforcement, which, as you know, there's a criminal statute out there called false reporting to authorities that's punishable by jail. And he apparently engaged in it twice, according to her, that she was falsely accused and that the DA dismissed the charges because her boyfriend, the wannabe police officer, came in and admitted to lying. And she has a letter, she says, from the DA that attests to all this. Other people before me had said, hey, Daniel, why don't you put this letter out? And she gave this really interesting response that was, well, you know, I don't hold it against him. I think he was just trying to protect his career. Now, just step back for a moment. The idea that someone could have you arrested not once but twice because they lie about you, and then you're like, no harm, no foul, I forgive you. I don't know a person in my life that would take that approach, including me. I feel pretty certain if you falsely accused Mother Teresa of two crimes and had her locked up, she too wouldn't be that quick to forgive. But nonetheless, she's sitting on this letter, and I beg her to release the letter because there's this rogue cop out there, right? And then it gets better because then she says, well, and I got this, you know, the protection order was his attempt to try to keep me in the relationship. And I thought, great, you know, that way he can't contact me, which is ignorant because as anyone can guess, let alone know, a protection order is a one-way street. And that is you may not contact the protected party. Peace out. And then it turned into, well, and then he had his buddies on the police department, you know, pulling me over, harassing me. And I thought, oh, my God, we have an entire rogue group of police officers. These are all police officers who are not only engaged in crimes, but they're also willing to put their careers on the line, all of this just to get at Daniel. And so I begged her, put the letter out, put the letter out, put the letter out. And she says she's not gonna, despite the fact that there's these rogue, horrible, lying cops out there, because she's going to save it in case the Dems really come after her hard. And then I think what we've gotten to is a determination that, in fact, the reason that she won't release the letter that says that this guy came in and lied to get her into trouble, and that's why the case was dismissed, is because it doesn't exist. It simply doesn't exist. It is manufactured in her own mind and has now become part of the campaign trail. Now, I don't just say that lightly. Now, there are folks out there that listen to the show that, you know, want to dig around more than I do. So apparently somebody went around and did some kind of open records request or something. They got their hands on a police report and they emailed it into the studio. And I've got the police report. I'm looking. It's all redacted and stuff. I can't tell you who all the people are other than her. But this is a Boulder police record from apparently September the 5th, 2008. And it details what happened in this domestic violence thing. And the victim in this case, I think her then boyfriend, wants to break up with her apparently because he thinks she has cheated on him. And as soon as he says that, she strikes him in the face. She slaps him. That's what he says. And then he says she won't let him out of the bathroom. She's blocking the door. He's got to push by her. And then he gets by her and she punches a picture frame and breaks the glass. Now, that's his accusation. This is according to the police report that I have right here. They interview her. They contact her. And I'm going to read you what it says here. And her last name, by the way, was not Neuschwanger back then. That's her married name. It was K-N-O-P-P, Knopp. Knopp stated that when, and this is redacted, accused her of cheating, she slapped him in the face. Well, that turns out to be exactly what he said happened. So I guess it wasn't a lie. Next sentence. I asked her if she blocked him from exiting the bathroom, and she stated that she stood in the doorway. Again, doesn't feel like he lied. She insinuated that she stood in the doorway because there was no room since the kitchen and bathroom were connected and it's a very small space. I also observed this when I looked inside the apartment. Knopp did admit that she punched the picture frame of the two of them with her right fist on the inside of the hand. There was a small cut on her wrist, but she did not want medical attention, and it was not bleeding. There were no other marks on her. Now, folks, if this guy is lying, he has figured out a way to get her to echo that lie And by the way, they interview her way separate from him. They had to go find her, I think. I don't know where she was when she took off there, but they said, let's see right here. Left a message on Knopp's cell phone. And they finally reached her, and they met her outside of an apartment talking when they found her. Folks, that doesn't sound like a lie to me. Now, there are a million reasons cases can get dismissed. In this particular one, it looks like it was dismissed, quote, in the interests of justice. That is generic DA talk, having used that language myself countless times. That is generic DA talk for this case isn't going to be pursued for one reason or another. Now, it could be that the victim in the case, who I don't know who it is from this redacted report, said, hey, I don't want to pursue this, man. I don't want this in my life. Now, we get that quite a bit. And depending upon the gravity of the case, I can see a DA saying, hey, thank you for your input, but this is so important, we're going to move forward. I can also see a DA, especially one in Boulder at that time, saying, you know what? We got so much going on. If you're not interested in this and it's just her blocking you, slapping you in a punch frame, if you don't think it's a big deal, we don't either, and move on. That is a far cry from somebody came in and admitted they lied. Now, if that's in a letter, please produce it. But right now, it looks like from the police report, unless you think this cop, too, is involved in the great conspiracy to harass Danielle, that she admits to slapping him, which is a crime. She admits to blocking him from leaving, which is arguably technically a crime, although kind of a weak one. And she admits to punching a picture and breaking property of someone else. That's a crime. I mean, those are all three crimes. Even if they're not pursued, that is a far cry from lied. That's just interesting that we have that. I'll tell you some more as we get through the show here, too, about some other documents that were sent to me and some other things that I've at least heard about that I may not have, but someone has read them to me, and I have some thoughts on these things, too. But there are other reasons why Danielle Neuschwanger did not pursue a career in law enforcement, although she tried to. And it has nothing to do with the fact that a, quote, abusive boyfriend, end quote, discouraged her from it or drove her from it. There are other reasons. But the big news for the weekend was this. And I'm going to play you a clip here. It's very exciting news.
And so we have just been given a voice recording where someone from the company has confirmed that this was the purchase package that was bought by the GOP here in Colorado with the sole intent to rig the election. And so on Saturday, I will be coming out with a public announcement that I am going to be the constitutional nominee. I actually accepted the nomination yesterday, and announcing that I will be in the general election against both the Republican and Democratic challenger, because it's all about the people.
Well, actually, that wasn't from this Saturday. That was last week. I think it was Wednesday when she announced she's going to be accepting the Constitutional Party's nomination. But she then had to go speak at some other Republican event called Fathers of Freedom or Papas of Patriots, Patriots Papas. I don't know what the name of the group was, but there was some sort of paternalistic and patriotism thing all looped into one title. And it sounds like a great group, by the way, based on the other speakers that they had there, Eric Odland and Bob Lewis and these other folks. But that was, and then on Thursday, so this is the day after she says, I'm going to accept the nomination, I've officially been nominated, all this other stuff. On Thursday, she says, Billy. Now that is Thursday. I'm still a registered Republican after announcing the day before she was going to accept, or maybe it's 2 days before, accept the nomination for the American Constitution Party. And now the exciting news builds to a crescendo this weekend.
So as of this morning, I have officially accepted the nomination for the American Constitution candidate, and now I get to represent all Americans everywhere in Colorado because your voice matters.
So now she's back on it. The good news is, I think now, as opposed to having accepted it on Wednesday as a registered Republican, she has now actually changed her affiliation to the American Constitution Party. We have lined up for, I think it's tomorrow, I think it's the president, it may be the executive director, the chairman. I'm not sure what title they use, but we're going to have him on tomorrow. And we'll talk to him about the procedures. The rules are different for a minority party. And that a minor party, and that's what this is a minor party. And we'll have that conversation with him. As it turns out, too, during that event that I watched, so you don't have to, she also announced that her lieutenant governor candidate is a guy named Daryl Gibbs. Now, I saw Daryl Gibbs once before. It was at the Republican Assembly because he stood up and said he wanted to be governor too. And so here are two Republicans that could not make the ballot that have decided, to hell with the Republican Party, I'm now going some other place that can still host me at this late date on the ballot. And there's just a lot of questions there. And I would love it, Danielle, if you're hearing this either now or on the podcast, pretty please just call in and let's just, you can, I'm not going to cut you off unless you just drone on and on about nonsense, but I'm happy to have you come on and make an explanation for all these things, whether it's the timing of this, the timing of that, why you're doing it, if you think it's going to actually make it easier or harder for Governor Polis to get reelected, the conspiracy behind what took place in, we can hear from her, and we got another clip after this. We'll hear sort of the evolution of the discussion of what took place at the assembly when we come back right after this. But before I do that, I want to tell you about a couple things. One, the Advanced Colorado podcast is up and live. Dave DeVia, a superstar businessman in the construction world, also a 20-plus year advocate for trying to resolve some of these homeless issues that continue to blow up and plague us. This guy knows stuff, including the numbers that will shock you about how much money we spend per homeless person. We're at a place, folks, where in Colorado we could actually pay people straight up money to just, we could pay them a salary to not be homeless. And then that would be cheaper than what we're doing right now. We spend more per person on a homeless person than some of you make every single year to take care of yourselves and be taxpaying members of society. And that is disgusting. What an utter waste of money. And it's inhumane that these people continue to languish, some of whom would benefit from wraparound services. Others choose to do it. Nonetheless, Dave DeVia, get out there on the Advanced Colorado Rundown. It's called the Advanced Colorado Rundown. Subscribe to it, like it, share it around. And then we're going to have another new podcast coming up this week. We do it every week during the legislative session, and maybe we'll do it every other week after that. More when we come back. Until that time, you're listening to George Brockler right here on 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Text starting to roll in here. Interesting, some of the stuff here. And it's the timing of the shrew. That's so very, very interesting. There are some folks that have some questions, others who find this all very sad for Danielle, others who are like, hey, she's long gone in the rearview mirror, let's stop talking about her, and others who are like, listen, I want to keep knowing more about this, especially in light of the fact that she is in the race now. She's going to be on the general election ballot, and I don't know what percentage she'll get. I presume it'll be low single digits. That's just my best guess. Although we're doing a lot, you're welcome, Danielle, to elevate your name ID. We're keeping you in the conversation. You should be very pleased with that. But whatever she takes, it won't be from Polis, right? Like, she ain't going to take a single vote from the people that would vote for Jared Polis. She's only taking votes from people who might otherwise defeat Jared Polis. And so because of that, and she continues in this, it's almost like a dumpster fire in some ways, right? Like, you want to go look over there and see what's going on. There are things that have happened, and she's invoked my name now a couple times at different events and stuff. I feel interested in this. I want to know what the hell's going on. And this is like a really awful onion, because the more you peel back these layers, the more you realize, holy smokes, there's something going on here. I'm not the only one that feels that way, and you can give us a call at 303-696-1971 to share your thoughts and experiences on this. And to do that right now is Janet. Janet, you're on 710 KNUS.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, so you got me a little fired up when the whole announcement about going to the Constitution Party and all of that. So I went to her Facebook page, the Neuschwanger for Colorado governor, and I posted about, and there were lots of comments, and it was all, you go, and I can't wait, and we'll see you there, and there wasn't anything negative. And I posted about it being a self-centered, egotistical move, and that it wasn't about the people, it was about her inability to grasp reality. And later in the day, I got the notification that somebody had replied. Her dad called me a liberal POS, and to go back where I came from.
In writing?
Yes.
And go back to where you came from. Like, where is that?
I don't know. But he called me a liberal POS to go back where I came from and to stay the hell away from his daughter.
To stay away from his daughter.
What's that?
And to stay away from his daughter. I'm just echoing that with a sort of a, that's a, just a very interesting approach. Did you have any other further exchange with him, or did Danielle ever respond?
Well, I laughed at his comment because it cracked me up. And I did say, you know, if your daughter's going to be in the public arena, she needs to grow a thicker skin. And by the way, didn't he think it was a little juvenile to be calling people names? And then I checked back later, and my original post is still up, but his reply and my reply to him are gone.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I guess it's just got to be all positive. Have you been listening to the show to hear her interview back on April the 8th, or maybe you heard the podcast or anything like that?
I'm a everyday listener. I used to wake up with Peter.
You.
Now I wake up with you.
Oh, thank you. So,
yeah.
I was just going to say, so you remember that part of the interview where she says, look, I'm out of law enforcement now because of this abusive boyfriend, and it really turned me off to law enforcement. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, and I remember that there was something. I remember what you've been talking about. It's not part of my daily life.
No. Nor should it be, and it's not mine either. It's just become very interesting to me. Well, it turns out that there is a permanent restraining order out there that was issued back in 2010 that prohibits her from possessing a firearm. So a permanent restraining order. Permanent protection order that prohibits her from possessing a firearm. And what's interesting about it is that she then petitioned the court through a motion to have that provision struck so she could continue her law enforcement career. And that didn't happen. The court did not grant that back in 2000. I think it was 10, maybe it was 2011, actually, when she saw it. So the idea that, hey, it was this abusive boyfriend that ran me off of law enforcement, what it looks like is law said we don't trust you to possess a firearm, and that ended the law enforcement career. Janet, thank you. You've gotten us started. Thank you. Keep listening. Yeah, I know. I wish I could keep talking to you about it, but we're at the top of the hour. Thank you. Keep listening, because at 7:04-ish, we're going to have Dinesh D'Souza on to talk to us about 2000mules.com. Well, 2000 Mules is the name of the movie. I'm excited for it. And then we'll take your calls after that. I promise you. That number is 303-696-1971. Until that time, George Brockler, 710, KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.